Hello again, everybody. Scott Casper for TDR TV. All of our friends along the way, including InterMetWrestle.com. What do you say we head out to? Are you in Las Vegas?
I'm in Las Vegas for the last couple of days.
You have made Las Vegas. You've made an impression on Las Vegas over your years of competing. We're talking with Olympian Daniel Cormier. Daniel, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. Doing great.
What a career you've had on the mat around the world competing on behalf of the United States of America. What a career you had for the Cowboys of Oklahoma State. Now, you've turned another one of your competitive pages, another chapter in your book, and you've had two competitive fights now in professional mixed martial arts. We're not going to discuss either one of the two fights yet. Just give me an open answer. How is it changed for you? How is it different? Is it fun? Talk to us about it.
It is fun. It is fun. I like it. I enjoy it. I enjoy the training. I enjoy doing something competitively. People ask me this question all the time. Do I get as nervous? Or if I win, does it feel as good as winning a big wrestling match? And I can tell you right now, I don't get as nervous when I wrestle, and I don't get as excited as when I won a big wrestling tournament because I love wrestling. And right now, I like mixed martial arts. I enjoy doing it. But it's not something I've done since I was a kid, and it's not a sport I've fallen in love with yet. I love wrestling. So it means so much more to me to get my hand raised in a wrestling match than it does in mixed martial arts. I do enjoy the sport. I wouldn't do it if I wasn't fully committed to it. But I love wrestling, man. And there's nothing that's ever been able to compare to it, football or anything else. So it's a great sport. I enjoy what I'm doing right now, but I do love the sport of wrestling.
We're talking with Daniel Cormier. Daniel, you and I have known each other for a good number of years now, and one thing I know for a fact, those shoulders of yours are connected to your biceps. Those biceps connected to some dirty, filthy, dirty elbows, and those are connected to your forearms that are connected to those hammer fists of yours. You were the favorite in your last fight, okay? It was an undercard fight for sure, but you were the favorite. You came in there and you just absolutely hammered your opponent. I felt bad for him. There's a picture of him getting his face smashed by your fist. how do you prepare for that mentally? Is it different than wrestling?
It's totally different. You know, I'm glad you asked that question. Before my very first fight, I was sitting with my cousin Terry, and I said, I'm going to have to, enjoy me right now as we're sitting in this hotel room as a dude that you've known all my life. I said, because for me to go into a cage and fight another man, I said, I'm going to have to change. I said, I have to go to a place that I've never taken myself to before. And I've done that. And by doing that, I can go in and punch a guy in the face for sport and for money. Before, you know, we've gotten into our share of fights in the wrestling room, and for me, I'm sometimes on the mat, you know, but to just do it knowing 6 weeks out that I'm going to fight this guy on this date was kind of hard for me a little bit. And it is a mental transformation. You know, you have to get yourself to a point where it's okay, you know. So I've done that now, and the second fight, I felt a lot better about it than the first fight, more comfortable with it, and I was just ready to enjoy it. It's fun, man. It's so much fun.
There's a young man who, well, not so young anymore, but he competed for a school called The Ohio State University. His name's Kevin Randleman. And when you see the monster come out in Kevin, you get a little scared. Well, when I look at your eyes when you get in that cage, you are not the same DC I know and love. What's going on in there?
I'm just thinking about getting through this fight, man, doing the things that I did in training. And like I said, you know, I'm not mad. I was never mad. Like you get when you're in a street fight or anything, because if you do that, you get so tired. I just try to think, okay, this is what I've done in training. I've trained with some of the best fighters in the world. That should carry me to a victory. You know, I find comfort in knowing that I'm working hard every day. I'm training hard every day. I've got some of the best partners in the world. And 9 times out of 10, your opponent won't have that because they don't have that in many places around the country.
You have the ability to take down an athlete at will, any competition. You've proved it around the world. But you chose in this fight to stand and trade for a bit. Was that kind of refreshing for you?
It was refreshing. You know, it's my coaches, you know, Bob Cook and Javier Mendez. they tell me that they're confident in what I can do on my feet, and let's try to stand a little bit. Now, granted, if I get clocked in the face one hard time or something, I'm pretty sure I'm going to take a guy down. I've been lucky enough not to experience that yet. It's only been two fights, but knowing that I do have the ability to take a guy down to the ground, it feels so good. Because I watch guys literally expend all of their energy trying to score a takedown. And to know that I can do that without using so much energy, you know, it feels good. And once we're there with the wrestling controls and everything I've done over the course of my career in wrestling, it's almost unfair to most guys, you know, because they're lost. You know, you get really good guys that are good in jiu-jitsu that can't get away from you because they're just lost. Because, okay, so the hardest part is to get a guy over to his back in wrestling. Hey, once you get him there, in my experiences, I finished the matches. Well, you're telling me a guy's going to roll to his back?
Yeah.
He's taking the hardest part away from me. The hardest part is turning the guy over. You telling me a guy's going to fall to his back and then get off of it? With me, there's no way. I'm going to pin him down, I'm going to posture up, and I'm going to land some punches, do some damage. So, yeah, it's almost unfair. You see it all the time. Like, when wrestlers get on top of these guys, it's like they're lost. They can't get off their back. They're like a turtle on their back. So they're just not used to that getting on your back and getting off.
Well, Daniel Cormier, our guest, he was part of the Strikeforce Challengers card most recently. And there's some criticism that was leveled at Strikeforce for not, putting together a good opponent for you, also featuring you late in the card, and underutilizing your obvious skills and talent. How do you feel about the criticisms leveled at Strikeforce?
You know, the thing about that is that there's two sides to it. First part is, I'm glad the fans want to see me fight. You know, if they didn't want to see, there's no interest. And you know what? That's where you belong. You belong on the undercard. You belong not televised. I'm glad the fans are saying something because that won't happen to me again. Now, granted, I wasn't supposed to fight on this card, Scott. I was just actually off at San Jose training, talked to Crazy Bob, my manager. I said, hey, it's been 6 months since I fought. I've been here training, working diligently, and getting better. I said, it's time for me to get a fight. I said, I don't want to fight February because it's too close. I said, but let's look to March and try to get a fight going. Well, that card was full already, you know. So because of my management, Dwayne Zinkin, Crazy Bob Cook, they were able to call Strikeforce and talk to Scott Coker, and that's why I'm so happy with Strikeforce, is because even though it was full, I had told Bob, get me an undercard fight, anything. I said, just get me fights. I said, I've just started, so I need to be getting experience. So they go, okay, we'll get you a fight. Well, got me an undercard fight, which was fine with me. Fight purse didn't change. Everything was still the same. And I was able to fight a guy that people little notice, but John Devine, he was in college at the same time as I was. He wrestled with Cal State Bakersfield. So he was Stephen Dill's pretty much primary training partner, as Stephen won his NCAA championship in 99, and then John took over the heavyweight position for Cal State Bakersfield. I didn't notice until I looked him up during scouting in preparation for the fight, and I saw at the National Duels, when I was at 184 wrestling Brandon Megan, John Devine was up at heavyweight.
That's
wrestling
right.
For Cal Bakersfield. So it's like such a small world. You know, I probably saw the guy tons of times at wrestling tournaments, Vegas Open, stuff like that, but never took time to realize who he was. And then 10 years later, we're stepping in the cage, opposing each other, fighting. You know, he was a big, strong kid. He had won his last five fights. You know, he's 5-1. And it was just a progression. You know, I went from Gary, who was really inexperienced, to John, who's more experienced, a tough, durable guy. And everything's just working out perfectly. Strikeforce, I think they took care of me. But I think it's great that the fans are kind of saying, you know, hey, the fight should have been on TV. Let's get it out so that we can see it.
That's
even
right.
If it's on the internet or even if it's on anything, you know, they don't care. They just want to see the fight. And I'm really happy that people want to see me fight.
Well, you know what? Dwayne Zinkin and Bob Cook are doing a great job for you. You're not going to find anybody out there protecting the interest of wrestlers any more than those two. It's obvious by those that they have signed, including you and Ben Askren and others from the world of wrestling. And those are the kind of guys we need looking out for the interests of some of America's greatest athletes. Just a couple questions about Devine. You know, I've watched him fight, and I think he was a better wrestler than he is a fighter. 5-1 doesn't necessarily tell the whole story, but Devine was able to land a couple combinations. He absolutely was. He got your attention.
That's what it said. You know, the funny thing is, Scott, I fought John, and I actually don't even know if I got hit. Like, that's how crazy, how much adrenaline is going through me in that situation. I never once noticed getting punched.
Really?
Like, the whole fight, I'm asking people in the crowd. I was like, did I get hit? Jamil Kelly was there. Sean Bunch was there. Mola Wall was there. Like, all my friends flew out to Fresno to watch me fight, and I was like, guys, did I get hit? And everybody's like, I don't think so. I don't know. But it's like, I didn't feel anything.
Yeah.
If he did hit me, I didn't feel anything. You know, no disrespect to him, but, I mean, it's like taking a guy and pumping him full of adrenaline. You know what I'm saying? Like, they filled me full of adrenaline, so I actually felt nothing. Like, I didn't even think I got hit one time, but...
Well, he felt that giant right that dropped him, okay? Dropped him like a rock. I felt bad for John Devine because it seemed like... And by the way, fans... Daniel Cormier has got a face like a rock, okay? He's taken he's done some face plants, he's done some forehead plants into the mats around the world. This is nothing new for Daniel Cormier. You want to see a great fight with this guy in a main event, you get him a guy that's actually worthy of his Olympic status, and Daniel Cormier will take it to whoever it is you want to put in there. I don't care who it is. UFC, you want to put somebody up against this guy? It ain't going to happen. Strikeforce not going to let that happen. But Strikeforce has got to do a good job, get you the right kind of competition, put you in a main event, get you the kind of money that you deserve. This is the guy, the very future of mixed martial arts in the heavyweight division. We're talking with our friend Daniel Cormier. Daniel, before we run out of time, and you and I always run out of time, we got about 2 minutes remaining. Who is it that's getting you there? Who are you training with next?
Actually, I'm going to head down to Southern California, train with King Mola Wall, you know, another one of our wrestlers, as he prepares for his light heavyweight championship fight in Nashville, Tennessee, April 17th. Then I'm going to shoot out to Denver and train with Rashad Evans as he prepares to fight Quentin Rampage Jackson, another one of our wrestlers. Then I'm going back to San Jose and train with my Team American Kickboxing Academy with Cain Velasquez, wrestler, John Finch, wrestler, Josh Koscheck, wrestler. You know, so I'm excited, man. I've got some really big things coming up for me.
If you would only get amped up a little bit for these conversations, DC, I swear to God, I'm ready to go outside and mow the yard, and it's spring. It ain't growing. You know what I'm saying? You're giving me all that energy. I don't know what I'm going to do. DC, you know I love you, brother.
You guys love it.
You know I love you, and I just want the best for you, for your family. God knows you've gone through enough. I want to see you just bank some cash, put it away, and to continue on with your tremendous career. There's a lot of guys that look up to you and how you've led it, how you've led your life, and how you're leading it professionally. Good job by you. 2-0. You're looking for your third. Who's going to step up to face Daniel Cormier in Strikeforce? Well, that legend is yet to be written. Stay tuned. More on TDR. Thanks, DC.
Thank you. Hey, guys, watch Ben Askren and Joe Warren and Bellator. Really important to support these wrestlers.